In the second gospel reading we heard today, there were two questions posed. First, one of the lawyers gathered among the Pharisees asked Jesus their question, testing him. Then Jesus, in turn, poses a question to the gathered Pharisees, testing them. Let's look at the second question first. Jesus questions the Pharisees, "What do you think of the Christ? Whose son is he?" And they answer him, "He is the son of David." Now Jesus gives an interesting response. He replies, "Therefore, why does David in the Spirit call him Lord, saying, 'The Lord said to my Lord, sit at my right hand until I might place your enemies beneath your feet.' Therefore, if David calls him Lord, how is he his son?" Well, they give him no answer because the implication is stunning. Well, let's clarify this. In the Spirit, writing, speaking, acting prophetically, David writes this in the psalm. The implication is that David would call no son, no biological descendant, Lord. And as king of Israel, he would call no human being Lord. So let's go back a little bit in history. The Hebrew name, God reveals himself. He reveals his name to Moses, and it is Yahweh, or Jehovah. Now, the name, God's name, was too holy to be uttered by the Jews. It was too holy, so they referred to him as Adonai, meaning Lord. That's how it's translated. We have the word in Greek, Kyrie. Of course, we translate it Lord. Now, the implication then is that Jesus is the Messiah, and the Messiah is God, God in the flesh. Now, there are other settings in the Gospels where Jesus reveals himself to be God. Two are found in the Gospel of John. One in the 6th chapter, where Jesus is walking on the water. So the disciples are in a storm. They're being tossed about. They're taking on water. Jesus sees their struggle, crosses the Sea of Galilee on foot, and comes to them, and the storm is calmed. But before that, as he approaches the boat, the disciples, the apostles, are quite frightened, thinking that he's a ghost. But he reveals himself to them. Therefore, after they had come 25 or 30 stadia, they observed Jesus walking upon the sea and coming near the boat, and they were afraid. But Jesus says to them, "I am. Do not fear." That phrase, "I am," in the Greek is ego eimi. Now, let's go back to Exodus, where God reveals his name to Moses. Exodus 3:14. So Moses is called up to the mount, and there's the burning bush. And God and Moses enter into a conversation. And we have this. "And God said to Moses, 'I am the one who is,'" in Greek, "ego eimi ho'on. And he said, 'Thus you shall say to the sons of Israel, the one who is has sent me to you.'" So Jesus elsewhere uses this ego eimi to identify himself as God. Jesus also declares his deity in John 8:58, where he says to the Pharisees again, "Truly, truly, I say to you, before Abraham was, I am, ego eimi." John also further clarifies, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God." Jesus is God in the flesh. He is the Son of God, the Son of Man, our Creator, our Savior, and our Lord. But with this identification of Jesus as God, it's not a theological abstraction. There are implications and profound implications for us. So let's go to the first question. The Pharisees asked this to Jesus, "Teacher, what is the greatest commandment in the law?" Jesus answers them, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul, with all your mind. And a second one is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. On these two commandments depend all the law and the prophets." Love for God is not a private abstraction, and it is not an intellectual exercise. Love for God is perfected by our love for others, by what we do and by what we say. Now, the opposite is equally true. If we hate one another and hate our neighbors, then, therefore, we must hate God. Now, our present situation in this culture is quite challenging. And again, I go back to the disturbing context of politics, where the hate and polarization is even greater and more deeply manifested. Liberal versus conservative, left versus right. And it's all aired out, unfortunately, so many times in the latrine of social media. The last word must be said. The pride of pointing out that our intellect and our insight is greater than yours. I think that's appalling. And let it not be done among us in this day. But let's always move and act and speak in love. And let us keep in mind the words of St. Francis of Assisi. O Lord, make me an instrument of your peace. Where there is hatred, let me sow love. Where there is injury, pardon. Where there is doubt, faith. Where there is despair, hope. Where there is darkness, light. Where there is sadness, joy. O Divine Master, let me not seek so much to be consoled as to console, to be understood as to understand, to be loved as to love. For it is in dying that we are born again to eternal life. That means dying to ourself as well. Now let me also then turn to the idea of icons. Icons in the image of God. We all venerate the icons in this parish. And by doing so, we pass honor to those who are portrayed before us by the icon. But also each one of us are living, three-dimensional, walking, breathing, talking, speaking icons. Because all of humanity is created in the image of God. Therefore, we all bear the image of God. We are all his icons. Let me ask you this, as we can contemplate loving our neighbor as ourselves. Would any one of you dare to desecrate or spit upon an icon in this parish? The answer I'm assuredly can say is no. Therefore, dare we consider dishonoring any one of us and any one of our neighbors, any one of our family members? It should be equally unthinkable. All of our words, all of our actions should be done in love. Because if you dishonor the image, you dishonor the image maker. Well, let's go forward and discern within ourselves how we're to love our neighbor as ourselves. And by thus doing, showing our love for God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Christ is in our midst.